Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Is hair a material?
Are biscuits a material?
Are crystals a material?
Is plastic a material?
Is porridge a material?
Can gases be a material?
Are eggs a material?
Is water a material?
What do you call everything that isn't a material?
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at your question.
And yet you continue to do so.
Hello and welcome back to Handmade, the making podcast with real talk about materials. I'm your host, material scientist Anna Pajewski, and this episode I'm talking to artist Steph Couturier about her craft of making with stained glass. I started by asking Steph how she got into stained glass.
So as far as I can remember, I've always been obsessed and fascinated with glass. We actually have a video of me where I'm dressed as a magician with a wand and like a glittery red hat. And my brother must have made like a science exposition about how glass is made. So it's really technical. And I think I was 5 or 6, I could read, so maybe 6 years old. And I asked to be filmed and to explain with my wand explain how glass is made, and I'm like really passionate about it, and it's really funny. And I didn't grow up around makers and artists that much, so it wasn't something that was really accessible to me. That's probably why I'm a late bloomer too. Mm-hmm. But I always remember when I went on vacation and I traveled, I always went to those like gift shops and would bring back little pieces of blown glass or stained glass to bring home with me. And some of them are really kitsch, but like, I really like them. And it was really fascinating. The art for me was really fascinating. And it was so much fascinating to me that it felt like it was something inaccessible to me. Like Only real artists or real craftspeople made stained glass, because I didn't know anybody who made it. So years went by and I did other stuff. And one day, thanks to Instagram, I saw a lady who made little pieces of stained glass. And I said, wait a minute, I can do that in my home. And in her bio, it said that she was self-taught. So I was like, I can learn that by myself. So I started to like really get obsessed with the subject. I researched probably all the website there is, all the videos on YouTube there is. I took notes, rewatched everything, learned the terms, the materials, all of that. And I ordered all of it online. So when I gathered all the materials, I put up a little studio in a wardrobe where the litter box is. And I started to try to cut glass. And it was a massive failure, needless to say. Because glass doesn't cut like paper or craft paper or anything. It kind of has its mind of its own. So the way it is, there's like a little wheel at the tip of the glass cutter. It's kind of like a small pizza cutter. And what it does, it scratch the surface of the glass and then it breaks. So basically your job is to guide the scoring line. And if you don't guide it as perfectly as you wish, it's going to break in all directions. So that's what it did. So massive failure at first. And then I finally got the hang of it. And after a while, I was not so bad at it. So I'm still on the learning curve, of course. I've been doing that for 3 years now. but I mean, I'm not a master yet. So I don't have like a art degree or a graphic design degree, because it seemed like everybody has graphic design degrees. I'm just a nurse who was really unsatisfied with her nursing career and decided to do something better with my life. And that all came at the same time. So I just went and did it.
So are you doing it full time now, or are you still nursing?
Not yet, not yet. But I'm part time, quite half and half now. So I'm really happy with that.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. So nice. So can you take me through some of your materials and processes then? You mentioned the process of cutting glass, but what do you do with it after that?
Yeah. So the first step actually is to create your design, create mm-hmm. your pattern. And you can't put any drawings into glass. You kind of had to tweak it a little bit because of curves and some angles that are harder to do in stained glass. So first is to transfer your design in your head and a pattern that will be doable in glass. And then you choose your colors, your textures. That can be like a really long time because you need to look at it through the window and on the table and see if it matches, see if it's to your liking. And then you cut the glass. After that, you need to grind every edges of the glass pieces so it's not as sharp and you can't cut yourself with it anymore. And sometimes if you're if when you cut it you weren't as precise, you can tweak it with grinding also. So and after that you need to put, well, that's the Tiffany technique I'm explaining. You need to wrap all the pieces with copper tape. So the tape has one side that is glue and the other side is actual copper.
Oh.
That way the solder will stick to the glass, because solder won't stick to the glass if there's no agent on it. So you need
really?
Copper. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And the one that you see in churches, like in big installation, there's actual lead stripes or channels, or we call them came. And you put the glass in between those stripes and then you solder the joints and you put some kind of putty on each side. And then they're like sandwiched into other glass. Those are the bigger installations.
Okay.
Yeah. But no metal will ever stick on a glass. You need something else.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. So for my part, what I do is I do the Tiffany technique with the copper foil. And then after I solder everything together, and sometimes I will do put came stripes of lead around my pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So it like more nicer finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you need to, that's a longer time-consuming part as well, is to polish everything, make sure it's clean. And then you can apply chemicals that will change the color of the metal. So you can have them black or copper.
Ah, okay.
That's the finishing process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long does it take you to make a piece from start to finish?
No, I it's hard to say because it depends on how many pieces there
yeah.
is. But I would say like, nothing can be done under an hour.
Oh yeah.
so like the smallest one will probably take me, and I always underestimate the time. But the finishing process is really long because you're always cleaning and nobody wants a dirty glass, so you need to clean and clean and clean again.
Of course I've had lots of other guests on the podcast talking about glass, and one of the common themes that often comes up is to do with the interplay between glass and light, and light's obviously very important to the material, and so I can imagine if there are fingerprints on it, then that becomes really obvious.
Yeah, it's something you can remove, but it also scratches. It's really annoying when you finish a piece and then you're like, oh my God, there's just tiny scratches. But most clients don't even mind as long as you can't see it, but like
you're
a perfectionist, so we notice it. Yeah.
So can you describe to me and the listeners what some of your designs are? You know, what are your influences? What are you trying to create?
Yes. Well, I'm trying to create stuff that I will put in my house that I like, that I like to look at. I'm drawn to abstracts and geometrical shapes mostly. Mm-hmm. My studio is in the forest, in the mountains, and I have like a 360 view of the of nature around me.
Amazing.
So like I have the sun setting and the sunsets on the other side. So mm-hmm. I know that a lot of my designs are inspired by sunrise and sunsets and the shapes around them and the colors, and depending on the seasons also there will be different colors and all of that. I can see that in my creations. So also there's like feelings and concept that sometimes I have in my mind and that mm-hmm. I want to put into patterns, and then it will create some kind of new shape and new object, if you will.
Yeah. Listeners won't be able to see this, but I can see behind you your windows. Through your windows, all I can see is trees and nature.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really, really lucky.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So I'm interested in how you are able to, I suppose, convey the concepts of nature and of sunsets. You know, you described the colors and some of the shapes, but how do you actually go about taking those influences and translating them into stained glass, which, as you've alluded to, can be quite abstract?
I think it started with just putting the glass together and looking at the shapes and the textures, and when you look at, you put it like through the window and you see the different reflects that it does. So to me it's quite natural to just incorporate them into stained glass pieces, but I know that for some people it can be more abstract. But there's a lot of details in nature, and sometimes what I like to do is just to sit there and imagine if I would just trace around the details what shape it would give me. That's an exercise that I try to do, and then after that, I let the light and the glass do the rest of the work and bring those details to the person, to the viewer.
Mm-mm. With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So you mentioned light there, and I mentioned it as well earlier. How do you use light in your pieces?
Well, I rarely use opaque. I hope it's the right word, yeah. Opaque, that you can't see through.
Yes.
I rarely use them. I like them a lot. Sometimes I will use both, but I prefer the transparent one. Mm-hmm. So it will change depending on the time of day. If you decide to put it in like your eastern window, your south window, it will change. If it really changes with the weather also.
Yeah.
So it can look different from a day to another, from the morning to the evening. So I have like a light board that I use sometimes, but not that much. I try to use to choose the right colors with the natural light outside. Okay.
So are your designs designed to be kind of hung in front of a window at home?
Yes, but you can also put them in front of a wall as well.
Sure.
And sometimes the light coming from an angle, you'll see the reflection even if it's against the wall.
Amazing. It would be cool to hear, is there sort of one piece that you've made that you think really kind of reflects, I suppose, your favorite piece that you've made? You know, what to you reflects like the very best of what you've done?
Well, there is a piece that I only made one time, and it was a really big piece that was meant to ship 5 hours from my home. And I didn't meet the person it was going to. It was just like a gift, and I had this kind of description. Mm. And it was a person who was moving from the Maritimes and going back into the city. And the person who were gifting the piece wanted to immortalize our sunset at our beaches. Mm-hmm. So I did this 3 feet by 3 feet piece with floating pieces of glass that were a lot of abstract shapes, mm-hmm. and arches. And arches are hard to make because there is hollow curves.
Yeah.
And it can break very easily when you cut glass like that. And I wasn't a lot experienced when I did this piece. So for me, it was like a big accomplishment. And it was floating pieces with circles, abcircles, and arch. And I did join some of them with rings. Mm. So it like did a full circle. And yeah, it's really warm colors, like reds, yellow, orange color. And I had to pack that and ship that, and it was quite a big deal. So, and I only did it once. So that big. So
yeah.
That's one of my favorite, but I did recreate some of the mm-hmm. Patterns of that big piece.
Yeah. Yeah. So that piece sounds amazing. I'm interested in what you said right at the start. You're essentially self-taught, and you learned a lot of what you do through experimentation of yourself, but also from learning through others that you saw on YouTube and the internet. Is there a stained glass community out there on the internet?
Oh yeah, there is. There's a big stained glass community on Instagram. Mm-hmm. That's what I follow the most. There is also some on Facebook where they share more like precise tips and techniques. And yes, it's a beautiful community, very sharing, very generous of their time. And everybody is trying to give stained glass a second chance, if you will, because popularity of stained glass has been up and down throughout the years.
Okay.
Because of its association with churches, money, prestige. So
interesting.
It's been popular and then really unpopular. Yeah. And some of them look it as like an old boring art. So there's a lot of people out there trying to bring it back and give it like their own touch.
Mm-hmm. What do you think your own touch is with stained glass?
My own touch, I would say, is really the floating pieces, because I incorporate a lot of raw edges in my pieces, and that's not something that you see really frequently. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that the masters would really approve of my techniques that much, but it works. It would not always work. You need to think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the raw pieces, it holds up together if you know how to do it, and it gives a more even more like abstract feeling to my piece.
Yeah.
So when I mean raw, it's like pieces that are not don't have solder around.
Okay, so you still kind of grind them so that they're not going to be sharp, but
yes, and I have perfected different techniques that it's even smoother.
Oh, nice. What sort of stuff?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I grind it in two different techniques that I probably won't really mention.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Trade secrets. I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah, kind of.
That's fair enough. So you've come to making then through well, you mentioned through kind of frustration of your day job, and you were sort of looking for something to inspire you, I suppose, apart from what you were doing for your day job. What does making mean for you now?
Everything. I've been making since I was a young girl, but not making sangha per se, but I always did something with my hand. And I think that's why I was so frustrated with nursing, because I wasn't doing anything. And I was serving, but it didn't seem at the end of the day that I was serving anybody. I was just there, and it could have been anybody else. Mm. And the same, it would still be the same at the end of the day. So with what I'm doing now, I feel that it really comes from deep down in me, and it's out there in the world. And in some strange way, it feels like I help more people now. I touch more people now with my art than when I did nursing and spent all my time at the hospital. So for me, it has huge meaning into why we are here, what's our purpose. And I feel like at the end of my life, I'm going to be a lot more proud of what I did than if I was just being a nurse full time.
That's so interesting to me, because I'm sure most listeners would be listening to this and thinking, like, your previous career, it was would have touched and made a difference to so many people.
And it's really an unpopular opinion, because we're viewed as heroes, and we're supposed to be like those heroes that don't complain. But I'm sure if there is nurses listen to me, they will agree with me, but they will never dare to say.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So my penultimate question for you is all to do with kind of the future of your practice. What's next for you? You mentioned earlier that you have invented these kind of new techniques, and you're kind of pushing the boundaries in certain areas. What are the unanswered questions for you in stained glass, and what would you like to achieve?
Well, there are still some techniques like glass fusing that I haven't touched yet. So there are still known techniques out there that I would like to learn and to perfect, I guess, at some point. And I would really like to do one day like installations of stained glass pieces, like huge installations of floating pieces and sculptures of glass. And I'd really like to not only keep being in people's windows, but to be in like places and museums or coffee shop, but in like a really huge statement place.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Well, I really hope you get there. I'm sure you will.
Yeah, hope so.
So if listeners have kind of felt inspired by your story in terms of, you know, you're someone that was just able to pick up this craft at home from scratch, where would you recommend that they go to kind of try these techniques out for themselves, or where would you recommend that they go and learn?
I would really recommend that you find a class. It's a lot less frustrating, and you really will get some awesome tips from people who know what they're doing. So just Google glass near you and look if you can find some classes. If it's not available to you, like it was for me, it is pretty doable in your home, like a trial and error process, and you'll get there. One thing I would say, you asked about community earlier, about the stained glass community, and I think it happens with every craft and every art that's so available on the internet, and it's to do your own designs, do your own patterns, do your own drawings, and don't copy what other people are doing. It's so easy, I know, and we're all tempted to do it, but I've received so much from trying to do my own stuff and putting my own self into my creations, and so many great feedback. And I think I've learned even more than I thought I could learn from doing it myself. So if you want to start stained glass, do your own patterns as well and go from there. Put your own self into the medium and let it envelope you.
Inspiring words. But it sounds like, you know, that approach has been what you found so valuable out of it, you know, self-expression.
Yeah, well, I was so scared to do something that would resemble somebody else's work, and that somebody would see my work and call me out. I was so scared. Then I then created out of fear, but I was really cautious to like not look too much at Instagram and other people, and just like try to stay focused in my own style.
Amazing. So speaking of Instagram, if listeners have enjoyed hearing from you and want to check out the stuff that you're up to and what you do, where are you online? Where can people go to see your work?
Yes, they can go on Instagram at La Vie en Verre Glass. That's my IG handle. And my website is www.lavieenverglass.com.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for chatting to me today. We've had various glass artists on the podcast, but never someone that works in stained glass. So it's really nice to get that extra angle from you. I wish you all the best in your artistic endeavors.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So that was the wonderful Steph Couturier talking all things stained glass. Thanks so much to her for coming on the podcast. A reminder that my book, Handmade, A Scientist's Search for Meaning Through Making, is out now. You can buy it in bookshops, you can order it in hardback online, and you can also get hold of Kindle copies and audiobook versions online as well. Let me know what you think of the book, or just say hi to me on social media. I'm at Anna Pozhaisky on Instagram and Twitter. And that's everything for this podcast episode. As always, it would be awesome if you would like to like and subscribe to us on all the usual podcasting apps. You can say hi to us on social media. We're on Twitter at Real Talk and on Instagram at Handmade Pod. If you want to support the podcast with a one-time financial donation, you can do so at supporter.acast.com/handmade. Thanks so much to everyone who's already done so. It really does help to keep the podcast going. Massive thanks as always to Alex Lathbridge for our wonderful music mix. And next time, I'll be talking to podcaster and psychomer Sarah Cosgriff about how crafting completely changed her lockdown experience. So until then, take very good care, and I'll speak to you next time on Handmade.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.